I'd like to call the meeting of the Higher Education Policy and Finance Committee to order. We have an official quorum and need a motion to approve
Mr.
the
Chair,
minutes.
Mr. Chair, I move the minutes.
From March the 25th. Representative Christensen moves the minutes. Any questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. We only have two bills today. We're going to change the order to confuse everybody. Representative Johnson. Welcome, Representative Johnson. The chair moves House File 545 to be laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members of the committee. I do have an amendment that I'd like to add to clear up some language that we changed in the last committee. We're going to get it right this time. It's the 404.
Changes two words or adds two words?
It's to delete excellence four. I had
I
incorrectly titled the Southern Minnesota Center of Agriculture, and I added excellence four. They're so excellent that I couldn't hold back.
Okay, the chair will move the amendment 0404. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Oops, I did that wrong. But you know what I mean. Okay, go ahead. Present your bill.
Thank you for this opportunity. When I am at home, I you know, workforce issues come up a lot. And two of the issues that come up frequently are, one, I hear consistently that veterans are challenged in securing good employment. And the second thing, I hear that the agricultural industry, which I represent, North Mankato, Mankato, that Nicola County, is in dire need of good employees. This bill is an attempt to bring those two challenges together by providing a route for veterans to achieve training to move into various jobs in the field of agriculture. It basically would set up a pilot project in fiscal year 2016 through the Southern Minnesota Center of Agriculture at South Central College, which then would be, that pilot would be replicated in up to five additional locations in the following year. And that would be another $600,000 to accomplish that. I'd like to turn the testimony over to Brad Schlosser, who is the director of the Center of Agriculture at South Central.
Welcome, Mr. Schlosser. Would you identify yourself for the record and then proceed?
I certainly would. Brad Schlosser, Dean of the Southern Minnesota Center of Agriculture. Thank you, Chair Norris and committee members. It's a pleasure for me to be present today. I'm an agricultural educator by choice, not by chance. I spent 30 years working with students at the high school level and at the post-secondary level. In the last 2 years, I've been able to support agricultural education as the Dean of the Southern Minnesota Center of Agriculture. We have a long-established history of quality education in southern Minnesota in the agricultural area, and we have faculty that are committed to agricultural education, and we work with a tremendous number of entrepreneurs and business people in the ag industry. We have a strong program in agribusiness, farm business management. They're strong and growing. In the last 10 years, enrollment has doubled at South Central College in North Mankato and Faribault, specific to agriculture. Our farm business management educators work with over 540 farm families in southern Minnesota. I'm also a shared administrator with South Central College and Minnesota West Community Technical College. So from Pipestone all the way over to Faribault, I've got about 35 faculty that work with agriculture. And I really believe that there's tremendous opportunity, and the consistent message that I hear from our agricultural business partners is we don't have enough people to get the job done. And we're all about food production and providing quality in our rural communities. The Center of Agriculture was established in 2012 by the Minnesota State College University System, and we are committed to providing a connection between the academic resources and our industry resources to develop and sustain workforce needs in the southern region of Minnesota and throughout the state. There is also a Northern Center of Agriculture connecting on this initiative. We have a positive history of serving veterans in the agricultural industry. I have had young men and women that have served our country and have returned and have sat in the classroom, worked in the laboratories, completed internships, and they find it extremely rewarding and very valuable to be involved in the industry. In southern Minnesota, we are sustained by agriculture. That's a gift that I'm committing to continuing supporting. So I would appreciate your support for the House File 545. Open for questions.
Thank you. Members, have any questions? I guess you covered it well.
Mr. Chair, just a couple of other
Representative
things.
Representative Johnson.
One is I had invited Mike McLaughlin to come. He testified before the Veterans Committee. And Mike was testifying on the Senate Companion yesterday, and so he couldn't come up today because he's busy working today. He serves veterans in our area. He works with MACBI and Mankato. And I just wanted to share his, not only Mike, but also there's a team of folks who will, at least in our local area, will very capably attract new, particularly recent veterans to this program. And they're doing fantastic work in the community. And I wish he were here because he could express that better than I. But they're really an asset to our community. So that's part of it, is recruiting the veterans. And then they would be working at South Central. The next step is securing employment in agriculture. And I'd like to invite Tom Peterson to testify before about the bill related to that.
Welcome, Mr. Peterson, to the committee. And again, state your name and then proceed.
Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Tom Peterson. I represent the Minnesota Farmers Union, and we too strongly support this legislation. Appreciate Representative Johnson, and do see a real need for this, an interest in this. One piece I want to just build on too is there. I think that there's tremendous opportunity in this if the legislature were to choose to help fund this program and get it started. The 2014 Farm Bill also has some really good programs for veterans, and actually has a really good menu for veterans that I think that our state would be able to leverage some of those federal farm dollars. So like this program getting up and started by the state would give us a unique lift. And so I've been looking at some of those programs as well. Farmers Union ourselves, we've also started our own program to promote agriculture to veterans because the different need and the opportunities that are out there, whether it's actually owning a farm or working on a farm. And so we do appreciate this. Again, these are not new programs either. I mean, the World War II, Korea, there have always been different parts of the GI Bill and other parts of the Farm Bill and different things that have welcomed our farmers that are returning from active duty to engage in agriculture. So appreciate your consideration.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience want to?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to invite our colleague, the Representative Tim Miller. He's the co-author of the bill.
Okay. Welcome, Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Tim Miller, Representative. I just wanted to let you know that I co-authored this bill and I agreed to come here and testify in support of this because I completely concur with what Representative Johnson has said on this. My district is very agriculture. I think I saw the stat that 60% of our employment is ag-related. Also in my communities, I've heard from veterans, and I get emails this session from veterans that are asking for opportunities and ways to find work and to transition back into work. And so I agree. I see this as a fantastic combination of them. I have a couple Minsky schools who would benefit from this. I have Ridgewater College and Minnesota West, which are two schools in my area that have been looking for opportunities to reinvigorate their ag education programs. I think some of these skilled programs that we're talking about are a good fit to be able to do that. So into the second year, I would be encouraging them to apply. I'm not exactly sure what the process is, but I'd be looking for them to do this. I like the fact that it's a pilot program. We had we were in ag finance earlier today, and one of the bills we were discussing was a pilot program. And I think pilot programs are a good way of vetting out, kind of figuring out what does work, what doesn't work, what the best fit is. And so I'm very encouraged by this bill. And I would just conclude in also saying that to really round this out, workforce development has been a very strong concern in my area, creating the jobs and then having the people. and I'm sure in this committee, but I can tell you in greater Minnesota, in ag finance, we've had a lot of discussions, and also my aging and long-term care committee, we've had lots of discussions on how to develop workforce. In my area, when I go to the companies, which again are mostly ag-related, they're having difficulty finding employees, and they really need them, and they would be quick to hire, and these are extremely good-paying jobs, even with limited skilled training. These are people that would be making above the cost of living sort of incomes from this. So I just would encourage you to seriously consider this for inclusion, and I would stand for questions if there's any questions on that.
Members have any questions?
No. Okay. Thank you.
Very good. And again, from the audience, anyone else care to? Evidently not. So, Representative Johnson, any closing comments?
Well, I'll just conclude by saying I think there's an opportunity to meet a couple of needs. And, you know, you go to the stand-ons in Mankato and you meet veterans who really need work. They need better work. And there's opportunity galore in agriculture. It's a tremendous field that I think we could provide access to. And the concept of expanding this, you'll see in the bill that we do ask that South Central work at other resources and work with other state agencies and the U of M and look at possibilities for expanded funding of the federal government. So there's a lot of possibility with this, so I hope you can consider including the bill. So
okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. House File 545 as amended is laid over. Next, Representative Earhart. We don't see you in this committee very often, Representative Earhart.
Well, I haven't had, Mr. Chairman, a lot of higher ed for a while, so it hasn't been a while. So
yeah.
I thought I'd come back and see what was going on in your area. And I noticed that Representative Pulaski always takes notes so he can tell me afterwards what I did wrong. This bill, House File 1875, do I get someone to move this for me?
I'll move it for you. The chair moves House File 1875 to be laid over. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill comes about because I was following aviation affairs around here, and we, as part of transportation, of course, which I'm interested in, and I find that when I went to the Minnesota Business Aviation Association Day, which they usually have at the Capitol, but they had at Holman Field this year, 6 weeks ago or 2 months ago, that I was talking to a lot of people, and one of them stood out to me, or two. One was an airport manager of the Anoka Blaine Airport, and he said one of the biggest problems that's going on with the aviation field now is going to be a shortage of pilots, because a couple of reasons. The military is not kicking out a lot of pilots anymore. They're keeping them and retiring them, and so there aren't a lot in the pipeline, and we have to do something about that. And we're finding, as a matter of fact, that well, a number of cities, Duluth, Rochester, Brainerd, Thief River Falls, International Falls, Hibbing, Bemidji, and so forth, and St. Cloud are being serviced by regional airlines, that the major airlines are always looking for fresh blood, and they snatch pilots from them at frequent interviews. And we need to do for the regionals and others, create a new stream of pilot candidates. I have a that's the background on this, and I have an amendment that I'd like to have someone move, A75A2.
The chair will move the amendment, A2.
Thank you.
We need a vote on it.
So. Okay.
All those in favor of the A2 amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, the amendment has been added.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you take the first line, this is there's a small ad there to page 1, line 22.
Are you looking at the amendment or the bill now?
Actually, I thought I was looking at the amendment.
There's no line 22 that I can find. Well, it states line 22 at 1.2, I guess.
1.2, 22, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Page 1, line 22 is 1.22. It adds before 2 an A in parens, and then on page 2, after line 3, or what are they, that's what the thing says, 3. Insert. 2.3 is what it should read, but anyway. Insert. An applicant selected participant must sign a contract to agree to work full-time as a pilot or flight instructor for a minimum of 5 years within 8 years of completing a 2 or 4 year degree in professional flight training. Excuse me. And it also then goes on to delete sub 5 as written and puts in a penalty for non-fulfillment of the contract. And finally, on page 1, line 1.3, it deletes authorizing rulemaking, which wasn't necessary. With that said, that's the bill as constructed, and what we're about is to try and create a new pipeline of for fresh pilots coming into the aviation sector. And I have with me Nancy Grazini Olson, who is president and of Thunderbird Aviation and Academy. I'm reading it upside down. Okay. And Julie Falk, Director of Aviation Programs for Thunderbird Aviation. And also we have Gordon Hoff, the Minnesota Business Aviation lobbyist.
Okay. All right. Welcome, and begin by stating your name, and then proceed.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Nancy Grazini Olson. I'm president of Thunderbird Aviation. We're located out at Flying Cloud Airport, Eden Prairie, and Crystal Airport. We provide flight training, charter, maintenance, and we have done so since 1962, flight training being one of our largest areas. In addition, I'm president of the Academy College. We're located in Bloomington, Minnesota. We offer both two-year associate degrees in commercial piloting and four-year bachelor degrees in commercial piloting. I'm here today to support House File 1875, the Aviation Degree Loan Forgiveness Program. Over the years, the airline industries, besides having a mandatory retirement at age 65, causing loss of pilots, has suffered major losses, including bankruptcies, causing layoffs, and reducing wage compensations. This has resulted in a negative for potential for new prospective pilots. The airline industry today has started seeing the effects of a major pilot shortage. General aviation, which is the area that we are in, it's general and commercial, and we're general aviation, is the grassroots for training these pilots. And over the last several years, there's been major reduction in entering this profession. Not only has this caused problems in general aviation, resulting in less flight instructors, charter pilots, and business pilots, but it's now having the same results in the airlines, beginning with the regional airlines. Many of the regional airlines may have to reduce flights and ground aircraft, and some have already done so, due to the shortage of crews. This could eventually result in reduction of services to many smaller cities and will soon affect the major carriers like Delta. We as educators providing pilot training are struggling to attract prospects into this industry for several reasons. Most of these reasons resulting in higher costs for the students, with lower future compensation for the students to cover these costs. Some of the reasons are that the high cost of flight training is anywhere from $68,000 to $75,000 for their 2 or 4 year degree, not including the academic tuition. In addition, the FAA has established this past year new requirements of mandating additional flight hours before the students are able to work for the airlines. They graduate, and well, for us, it's 270 hours. They need to get to a minimum of 1,000 hours. They do this by learning, by doing flight training, or sorry, flight instructing and other ways to build their time. This costs them additional time. In addition, it's additional, that's dollars and time, an additional 2 years it's going to take them before they get that first job. Low wages, working as flight instructors, earning an average of $18 an hour when they fly, and then going to the regional airlines, where starting pay is on average $22,000 to $32,000. And then 4 to 5 years later, they may finally arrive at the major airlines with hopes of then earning a decent wage. We are having a difficult time attracting new students due to the cost. Keeping students in the program, again, due to the cost and low potential wages that they face, and keeping flight instructors, since reality has set in at the stage that they become a flight instructor, earning $15,000 to $20,000 a year and realizing they cannot pay their bills. The results in them leaving the industry and the industry having fewer training instructors. I believe House File 1875 will provide a way for the industry to attract new prospective students to enroll in a pilot training program, as well as allowing for reduced costs after they graduate and allowing them time to build their hours and have the time needed to be eligible to move on to the airlines. Thank you. I'm going to turn this over to Julie Falk, Aviation Director, and she's going to review the career track that I think you have in front of you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. I am Julie Falk, the Aviation Director for Academy College. Welcome.
Can I interrupt for just a minute? I think we have a question for the McDonald. Is it for the first witness?
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay, go ahead.
First witness, you mentioned the average salary starting out $22,000 to $32,000. Then after about 4 or 5 years, they can make a decent wage with the major airlines. What is a decent wage?
I'll turn that to Julie. Industry? What's a decent wage these days?
Decent wage, starting salary at a major airline like United, American, and Delta is $48,000. And what they have in the airlines, of course, they have contracts that pilots are work under, their union contracts. And then it depends on how long you stay in the seat that you fly, for an example, the right seat of an Airbus, versus if you're able to move up the chain to maybe the right seat of a 747. So starting wages at a major is $48,000. And it does go up, you know, fairly good at that point. $62,000 the second year, almost $75,000 the third year, $90,000 within the fifth year. And that's even if you stay in the right seat of like an Airbus.
McDonald, any
very good. Thank you.
Ms. Falk, can you identify yourself officially? And then, I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, that's okay. Yes, good afternoon. I'm Julie Falk, the Aviation Director for Academy College. And thank you for allowing us to be here today. So what I'd like to do is just take the handout that we put in front of you. And in civil aviation, anybody that wants to be a pilot today will go through this track. So if your son or daughter, nephew, niece wants to become a pilot, and we sit down and talk with them, this is the track everybody goes through to become a pilot. So where I'd like you to focus is on the 270 hours. So whether you're in a two-year associate degree or a four-year bachelor degree, you will come out of our flight program with roughly 270 hours of flight time. So the industry, as Nancy alluded to, last year made a major change with hiring in the regional level. The regional airlines can no longer hire unless you have at least 1,000 hours of flight time, 1,250 or 1,500. And the difference is whether you go through a quality program, structured program. So how does a pilot get from 270 hours to 1,500? It's always been the catch-22. Nobody's going to hire you unless you have time. How do you get the time if nobody hires you? So what ends up happening in the industry is that, you know, aviation is a loved industry. Why would you pay somebody when you can go fly and have fun and that type of mentality? So flight instructors over 35 years that I've been in this industry have always been paid a very low wage. And as Nancy, I believe, alluded to, is around $18 an hour. And flight instructors are only paid when the propeller is turning or when they're giving ground instruction. So to say that you make 40 hours a week is not common in this industry. So flight instructor wages are very low. How long does it take to flight instruct so I can build my time and then move on to the regional carrier? Usually around a year and a half to 2 years. So I can live on low wages for a while. I know the big carrot's coming. I'm going to fly that big jet someday. So I stay in the industry. I flight instruct for 2 years, and then I get hired by the regionals. Regionals, as Nancy alluded to, also is very low pay. What we $22,000 to $32,000 per year is a starting salary at a regional airline. So the point is, how do I repay all my loans? How do I pay back, you know, my education loans when I'm still making, you know, low wages? How long do I have to sit at a regional carrier before United, Delta, American will pick me up? Well, that's usually another 2 to 4 years. But again, with the bankruptcies that happened in the 2000s, and with the retirement age increasing to 65, that stalled out pilots being able to progress in their industry. So I think what we're faced with today is the fact that the industry, people are not going into aviation as much as they used to be. If you look at the retirement age of the major airlines, it's a big problem these days of how many pilots are needed in the United States over the next 10 years. So with that, I think this bill is we talk to students every day. I had a student last week, Zach. He fell out. He actually works for a regional carrier as we speak and wants to be a pilot. He'd be a great candidate, but could not get the funding. A year ago, I worked with a guy, Brandon, who was two flights away from getting a commercial pilot certificate. He already spent $20,000 in the industry and could not continue because of the cost.
I was just momentarily trying to interrupt you. You said fell out. Is that a term that you use in your business?
If you can't qualify for financial aid, I guess, you know, you have to stop the process.
He wasn't flying at the time.
Correct. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Maybe that's a wrong term in aviation, just falling out.
Sorry about interrupting.
And then over the years, I mean, we have had a lot of airline pilots that fly at the regional level actually just can't obviously make ends meet because of the low salaries and trying to pay back loans. We had a flight instructor, Michaela, working for us. She graduated from a school here in aviation, became a flight instructor, and again, just couldn't make the ends meet, so left the industry. So, again, in my experience, a bill like this would mean a lot. It would be tremendous in getting pilots back into this industry. Thank you.
Thank you. It strikes me as though it's similar to the industry I was in, where you have to have a passion for it, and you overlook the low wages. And that's probably restricting. I mean, it limits the amount of people that would be fitting that description. And it's similar to what we're doing. I didn't want to go into that. Because people think we're feeling sorry for ourselves. And we're not. But. Well, again, thank you very much. And I believe one more testifier.
Good afternoon.
First of all, any questions of Ms. Falk? Okay, seeing none, proceed.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. My name is Gordon Huff. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Business Aviation Association. I would just tell you that they've said pretty much everything, but the Minnesota Council of Airports, Representative Earhart alluded to the Bemidji's and the International Falls. These towns being served by regional air carriers are going to start having to reduce their flights because of lack of crew resources. At Thief River, served by Great Lakes, they are desperately short of pilots. They are one of the smaller regional air carriers, and their starting wage is $18,500 for the first year. They have, in order to continue to serve Thief River Falls, have taken a Beach 1900. It has 19 seats in it. They've taken out 10 seats so they can fly under a different rule, not the 121 that an airline flies under. They still have an air transport pilot rated sitting in the left seat as the pilot, but now they can have a co-pilot. It has less than the 1,500 hours. And still, Thief River Falls is seeing approximately 10% of their flights canceled because of lack of crews. So it is a real issue that is coming to our outlying communities. And unfortunately, on the short notice we had for the hearing, I was unable to get one of the airport managers from one of those regional cities to come down and testify. Also, Mankato State University, or Minnesota State University Mankato, pardon me, is the only public four-year school in Lefton, Minnesota, that is teaching professional pilots. We have a two-year college up at Duluth. Lake Superior College does the same. And I talked to Mr. Thomas Peterson, who is the head of their aviation department, and he sent me an email, and he concurs with the starting wages pretty much with the regional airlines. He also says, though, between 90 and 95% of their students use loans to pay for their flight training. So that's a pretty huge debt. You've heard it's between $65,000 or $68,000 and $75,000. So many students will earn one or two of their certificates and then realize this huge debt is piling up and they'll drop out of the program. And so young people are not coming into it, and it is a pretty daunting when you look at how long it's going to take you to start paying off those debts. Some of the regional airlines I'm hearing are trying to do something themselves to encourage people to stay with their airline for 4 or 5 years, and they're helping pay some of those loans. I can't give a definitive because I haven't talked to anybody from Endeavors. The one I've heard is doing something to help students if they'll stay 4 years with the airline to help with their loan forgiveness. So the industry is stepping up as well. It'll increase the diversity, I think, within the industry because if money is short and you can't get enough loans to pay for $75,000, you just probably aren't even going to venture into that field of employment. I can just say that Mr. Peterson, Professor Peterson, has strongly supports this bill from the Mankato State side of the aisle as well. You've heard about the lack of pilots, and I've heard that someplace in the vicinity of 500,000 pilots over the next decade are going to be needed, and that would equate to 50,000 pilots a year. And that's a lot of people going into aviation. It takes a long time to get there. You've already heard it takes 4 years of school, another 2 years of flight training, and another couple of years. So you're probably 6 or 7 years away before you really get into the large airlines. So they're not going to feel the pinch right away. But our regional cities and the regional airlines are definitely going to feel this in the very near future.
Thank you. Questions? Representative McDonald, you're on.
Well, there you go again. Question, you mentioned that the airlines are stepping up with the program, and then Representative Earnhardt, you want the taxpayers to step up with the program. Are the academy colleges, are you also participating in stepping up to help curtail this aviation fallout?
Let me just address the first call. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. The airlines are stepping up if when you go to work for that airline. That's when they're stepping up, and then they're helping out their employees at that point.
Yeah, I got that part.
Yeah, okay. I'm not quite sure what we can do as of yet. I mean, in a way, we are already stepping up because we're providing discounts in our program, in our flight training portion of it. We are already doing that. I'm not sure what we can do beyond that at this time.
Representative, is that it? Okay. Now, do you provide the airplanes that these students are using? I assume that's a big expense.
Mr. Chairman, I represent both Academy College, which is the academic, and I also am president of Thunderbird, and we do. We partner with the college. We provide all the flight training portion of it. College provides the academics. Okay. Let me add... we do quite a bit of locating, trying to find scholarships for the students and trying to find just different type of loans from whether it's airlines, and the airlines aren't quite there yet, to try to help these students put in. So we're looking for scholarships. We're looking for things like that from the current pilots out there and our customers, trying to make this work for them.
I can't speak for the committee exactly, but I think most of them are kind of surprised. You know, at the entry level, I think a teacher would probably make more, and we hear about that a lot. Representative Daniels.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have one question. I didn't see it in the bill. For the rarity, there might be somebody that has wealth in the family. Is there any limitations to if you have a six-figure income or more and going to college, is there any limitations in the bill that would not cover the $5,000 reimbursement?
There's nothing
direct.
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Representative, the six-figure student that you're referring to, the student will apply would apply for this loan through the Higher Education Commission, and they would then determine what student would or would not be eligible. So one would rationally think that maybe someone with not much debt applying for this loan forgiveness wouldn't really qualify, but that we have nothing in the bill that addresses that directly.
Covers it? Anyone else? Anyone else in the audience? Representative Earhart, do you have a...
Mr. Chairman, I made an omission in that I had, and we had asked your counsel about this. I had an oral amendment, 1.14, after Minnesota, it should have said after January 1, 2014, in order to limit the time here. 1.14 in Minnesota, and then insert after January 1, 2014. So you probably need a vote on that.
The staff have that? Yeah, I know, but to understand it, where it fits and how.
Mr. Chair, Representative Earhart, do you wish to have the restriction be that the institution has to be located in Minnesota after January 1, 2014, or that the individual has to earn the degree after January 1, 2014?
Well,
Representative Earhart?
It's a degree. We get that right? That's good.
Yeah. Okay, you want to clarify it again?
So if you want to limit the program to anyone who earns a degree after January 1, 2014, you could, on line 1.12, after 1, insert after January 1, 2014.
Mr. Chairman, that should be after has earned after January 1, 2014. I think that would be correct.
You want to just restate that again so we don't know?
So for the record, the on line 1.12, after has, insert after January 1, 2014.
Okay, any questions? Not all in favor of the oral amendment? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
That's all.
Any further?
That I have, unless anybody has any questions. Just pardon me for butchering the Academy College. Any other questions?
Well, we have a question. Yes, Representative Rosenthal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Earhart, will this affect our NAV going over our district?
Well, I think most of these, Mr. Chairman, pilots that fly over our area are highly paid professionals that know what they're doing and how to rev their motors up as they go over the district.
I was tempted, but I didn't do it, asking what a private pilot would make, but I didn't want to get into that. Since we have one in the house, that's probably too personal. So, I think you are finished.
I am.
Okay. Then we will move that House File 1875 as amended be laid over.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members.
Okay, unless somebody has an announcement or something they want to tell us about your vacation last week, then we are adjourned.